Howdy, regulars. This is Regular Dispatch 94. It's September 9th, 2020. Most of the important breaks and rewarding experiences in my career can be directly traced to Gary Shandling. Let me run through it quickly. One of the first jobs I got as a writer was writing jokes for the Grammys for Gary in 1990. After that, he agreed to do a cameo on the pilot of the Ben Stiller show. And I've always believed that those celebrity cameos in that first episode were one of the main reasons the show eventually got picked up. Then when the show was canceled, Gary hired me to be a writer at the Larry Sanders show. Then one day at the Larry Sanders show, Gary walked into the writer's room and without even asking me, said, "Judd, you're going to direct the next episode." And I did. No one taught me more or was kinder to me in this comedy world than Gary Shandling. As a kid, my only dream was to be a comedian. I never thought about being a writer. Gary was the first person who sat me down and said, "Look, this is what a story is about. This is how you write in this format." He talked a lot about how the key was to try to get to the emotional core of each character, which I had never heard before. He taught me that comedy is about truth and revealing yourself, and these are lessons I apply every day in my work. Losing Gary this year was heartbreaking to me and to the comedy community as well. His work inspired countless others and led to many of the great TV programs we admire today. We miss him for his empathy, his giving nature, and his brilliance. Gary was complex, always seeking, always learning. His highest priority was to be a loving person, and that he was. I am forever grateful. This interview was conducted by Mike Sager and originally appeared in Esquire in October 2014. Judd Apatow, who made you the man you are today? Gary Shandling. I can't discuss that without having a shitload of coffee first. Judd, to get it all out? Oh, he's spilling it. He spilled it already. Gary, see, this is why I don't eat in therapy. Do you ever eat? The second you said, "That's why I don't eat in therapy," I thought, wait, can you? Because I would definitely do that. Gary, I know I've had sessions where I've said, "You should think about having at least a salad bar," to the therapist. Seriously, though, I don't know who made me the man I am except to say what I feel in my heart relative to Roy London. Judd, yeah. Gary, Roy influenced me gigantically when I was about 27 years old and I stumbled into his acting class. Instead of talking about acting, we ended up talking about the world and people. Those conversations are what gave me the confidence to move on. Up until then, I was a confused young man who was writing for Sanford and Son. Who were you best at writing for? Which character? That's a good question. Lamont. Ann Esther. The first script I ever wrote was Ah Chu opens up a Chinese restaurant with Fred, and then the health department closes it down. The Asian character's name was Ah Chu? Gary. Well, this was when political correctness was required nowhere in the script. Do you think the world was better when you could name a character Ah Chu? I cannot judge that right now. Even just alone with you, I cannot judge that. But I will say, the two producers on that show, Saul Turtletaub and Bernie Ornstein, taught me a lot. When I used to turn in my script, they'd go, "You don't have an ending." And I realized, oh, the writer actually is supposed to do the whole script. I was assigned to write one in which Fred and Lamont went camping for the whole half hour. And, Judd, there's nothing not racist in that premise. Gary, well, I didn't know how to make it funny unless someone caught fire, and that certainly wasn't an option. Nor was I equipped as a younger man to write the father-son emotionality that they were looking for at the end, so they had to help me. I remember I wrote three of those scripts in one season, and then I went to the story editor, Ted Bergman, who really helped me, and said, how do you write 15 more or seasons more? And he looked at me and said, "Burn out at 26, huh?" When I told my therapist about this, he said, "No, you might be bored." And it shocked me because I never knew that that could be my opinion, my own opinion. That's when I turned to doing stand-up and looking at other types of television and what I could do that was different. Judd, so your shrink made you the man you are today. Gary, she really did help me there. Because I didn't think I had the right to be bored. You're just so grateful to have this job. Who am I to be bored by writing for Welcome Back, Kotter and all these great shows? Judd, that's what we do. We instantly go to guilt and shame. I'm not allowed to have a feeling about this. I should just appreciate it and shut the F up, right? Gary, that's totally right. Judd, in all situations, I go straight to that feeling. Just shut up. Gary, who were your early mentors? Judd, well, my grandfather, Bobby Shadd, was this guy who produced Sarah Vaughan and Lightnin' Hopkins and Charlie Parker and Janis Joplin. He raised money when he was a kid. He was a poor kid, and he would pay jazz musicians to let him record them, and then he would make records and sell them in stores. Eventually, he started his own label in the 40s, and then, Gary, you kind of saw the whole creative process right there. Judd, yeah, that's what I thought. I remember feeling like, oh, you can just do it. You can just start. But I had no musical abilities. I liked music, but I tried to play guitar as a kid and I couldn't. What I liked was comedy. When I was a kid, I said, I want to know how they do it. So I started this show from a high school radio station, interviewing comedians. I interviewed you, Gary, on the phone from Las Vegas. And you had just hosted the Tonight Show for the first time. Gary, it was the only interview I could get. Judd laughs. Here was this 15-year-old calling you on the phone, and you were very nice and funny. I asked you what your plans were for your career, and you basically laid everything out you would go on to do. You said, I'd like to do a show, probably a sitcom, probably something personal. I'd like to play myself. I might play myself. And this was in 1984. Gary, that's right. You remind me of two or three things. One, for some reason, is that so many of the comedians and comedy writers I know all pretended like they had radio shows, talking into their tape recorders or whatever when they were kids. It seemed to be a common theme. I used to do that too, but I never actually called anyone and interviewed them. You've always had bigger balls than most kids in comedy. The second thing, I was a late bloomer. I was confused until I was 27, and as I said, started to get into that Roy London mentality. That's when I realized I wanted to take the self-discovery path. I figured that would fit naturally into whatever project I felt was right, where I could continue to search this human condition thing we always talk about, because the human condition is hilariously awful. Judd, I never thought about any of those things until I worked for you. I didn't think in terms of the human story. You started thinking about it from Roy, and when I worked for you, you started talking to me about it. Gary, yeah, this is the Big Bang of it. By the way, my own belief is that I know how the Big Bang started. Everyone's confused, which is simply that shit happens. Judd, just random? Gary, it may not be random, but shit happens is what we end up writing. Judd, we're getting into chaos theory right now. Gary, when we were doing Larry Sanders, it was all about life and the question of self and what you were bringing to it. Judd, you always used to say that Sanders was about people who love each other, but show business gets in the way. Gary, in what people are always covering up, the tension between what they're covering emotionally in life and what's really going on inside them. What you want to write is what they're covering. Otherwise, you end up writing the exposition, which is just words. That's what the struggle was in the writer's room, getting people not to write just words. Judd, I remember you said once that it's very rare that anyone says what they actually feel, and that we're always trying to project onto other people, hiding our true motivations and feelings. And when you finally tell someone how you feel about something, it's a big deal. As a kid watching TV, I think I was learning all those things without even realizing it. I watched MASH, All in the Family, Taxi, you know, all the James L. Brooks shows. And those are all human comedies. I didn't understand that what I liked about them was seeing normal people with their daily struggles, trying to be good people in spite of all the obstacles that are in their way, trying to find connection. That's what I enjoyed the most, but I didn't understand how it was made, and I didn't understand how I would get there until I worked with you at the Larry Sanders Show. Gary, there's a way I mentor that's a bit on the Zen side, which is a little hard to understand because it happens in the writer's room. Let's just talk about you, Judd, okay? You clearly had youth and a point of view and energy and were really funny. And so what I wanted from you was whatever was pure that was coming out of you. The same pure thing will work for the Larry Sanders Show, or it will work for This Is 40. It's just got to be pure. What I'm doing in the writer's room is trying to sense whether that's organic or not, trying to help people find themselves. That's the lab we're in, and it turned out that we were filming it. Is that fair? Judd, yeah. I would notice things that were happening in your life or things that you were thinking about would make their way on the show. After the Larry Sanders Show, when I did Freaks and Geeks with Paul Feig, I don't remember how to say his name, Feig, it was so personal to Paul. When we were making that show, I was always nervous about what's the tone of this show and how can you do it really funny. And in my head, I always thought, you know what this is? It's a spinoff of the Larry Sanders Show. If we did Larry Sanders in high school, it would be this. That was always my secret thought. Gary, whenever you turn to what the organic state of any given character is, the fears, the anger, and the struggle, you're going to get conflict and a lot of hilarious stuff. Judd, it also led me to realize that certain stories can be very small, but if you're incredibly honest about them, there's so much to do there. Take Knocked Up, for example. This is how we came up with that idea. Seth Rogen was pitching me a big science fiction movie, and I said, Seth, you know you could stand there, and it would be interesting. In 40-Year-Old Virgin, you're just in a stock room, and you're interesting. You can do a whole movie where you get a girl pregnant, and I would watch to see how that works. Gary, that's right. Judd, we were all going, oh, maybe we should do that, but we were just joking around, and then when we realized, wait, maybe that actually is enough. Gary, you allow the actor to be as opposed to do. People are fascinating. They don't really need to do all that much. Judd, I've always thought that mentoring comes from being in a place where you want to learn. When you hired me at the Larry Sanders Show, you said, oh my God, you're going to learn so much. You didn't say, you're going to be so helpful to me. You said, you're going to learn so much, and I took that seriously. I came here to make as much of a contribution as I can, but it's just as important for me to take as much from it as I can. Some writers struggled with this because it was all ego, like, what can I get on the show? Does Gary like me? Does Gary like my scripts? They'd approach it like, I'm going to get my own show by observing this process and learning from what Gary's doing. I had fun because I didn't feel the pressure. It wasn't ego-driven. It was, hopefully I can get some jokes in, but I just got to watch Gary re-outline that script. I knew that watching was helping me. Gary, that's the way I was when I was just starting out. I was really open to being taught. When I see talent, I want them to be all they can be. I really want to help, and by doing so, I am helped as well. Whenever I mentor, I notice I'm learning something myself. You are right that there were writers who were not willing to look deeper inside themselves to get the material we were talking about. It's like being at a therapist and saying, no, no more sessions. Whereas you would keep going back in the room and rewriting, I could see how successful you would be because that's what it takes. It's just keep reworking and reworking. And man, you listened and you went back in and you ended up contributing enormously. I don't know. I'm just interested in life and teaching. I care. Judd, the bar was so high on that show. It was fun just to try to meet it. But I think for some people, when you struggle to get there, your self-esteem collapses. If you write a bad script and someone calls you out on it, you either go, how can I make it better? Or you get mad about it. Gary, you get defensive. Judd, you get defensive. But I always thought, oh, this is fun. The quest to make you happy, I enjoyed. It's fascinating because I've had the same experience with Lena Dunham on Girls. Here's a writer who is running a show, who stars in the show, and we know, based on how much work we get done each week, how much sleep Lena gets, and how sane she can be based on how much she's sleeping and how stressed she is about upcoming episodes. It's a very similar type of experience. And I think Lena benefits from my experience on the Larry Sanders Show in some ways, because for 6 years, I got to watch how the show was made, what helped you and what didn't. So when we built her show and figured out how to staff it and how to write it and how to pace ourselves, I was able to tell her about what happened at the Larry Sanders Show and maybe help her to do it correctly. Gary, it sounds like you're saying that it's everything in the moment. On any given day, you can see everything that Lena brings to the stage, to the writer's room that day. So you start there and you try to take her somewhere. Judd, yeah, it's Lena's show and we're all there to help her. Some weeks, she may love our ideas, she may love our whole script. Other weeks, we're just trying to feed her so she gets excited and goes off and writes a script without us. Gary, so it's not a discussion of ego, it's actually a discussion of someone's emotional life and where they are in the moment, which is incredibly useful for the writing and the shooting of the episode itself. That's what we were teaching in the room at Larry Sanders. The answer isn't on this piece of paper. It's in this space right here. Judd. Her insecurity about being a writer is what her show's about, really. A lot like Larry's insecurity about being a talk show host. The battle in the writer's room on some level has all the same issues of the battle of trying to be a writer in New York. Gary. So as an example, if a writer came in and got defensive about a script he was going to rewrite for Larry Sanders, we might, in fact, find a scene where Larry's saying, you know, Phil's just, he doesn't want to rewrite these jokes, he's just fighting with me. Instead of getting caught up in this real-life theater that's going on in the room, observe it, because that may be what goes on the paper in the end. Judd. It all becomes fodder for the show. Gary. Translating experience to paper. That's so hard to teach, isn't it? All right, so I've read one of these before from Judd Apatow's Sick in the Head, Conversations About Life and Comedy. This is the paperback version for what it's worth. I imagine that both these Shandling interviews are in the hardback as well. He interviews, I don't know, dozens of comedians and did when he was a kid, apparently 15, 16, 17. He's getting into comedy clubs, calling them on the phone, and becoming sort of getting sort of a master's degree, if not a doctorate, in comedy while in high school. Fascinating stuff. And, you know, Gary Shandling's just fascinating, brilliant, and it's really cool how much mentoring he did and how available he was to people. And I love that Apatow was mentioning that when he talked to him after his first Tonight Show appearance, that he's already thinking he'll do some sort of sitcom, maybe play himself, trying to figure that out. And obviously that became the Gary Shandling Show. And then later he did the Larry Sanders Show. Fascinating stuff. And it's cool hearing Gary listen to Judd talking about his grandfather, Bobby Shadd, who basically had a record label, started a record label in the 40s and produced Sarah Vaughan, Lightnin' Hopkins, Charlie Parker, Janis Joplin. And I love Apatow's comment that you can just do it. He realized, by seeing his grandfather do it, he realized, oh, you can just start. You can just do this. And so that's what he did. Fascinating stuff. And you realize, too, that how much Gary Shandling was influenced by Roy London and the producers on Sanford and Son, and his therapist, even truly helping him realize he's bored and it's okay to be bored and to aim for more, to go for something else. It's just awesome. It's inspiring, and it's also just really cool to, you know, learn more details about somebody like this. I don't know if anybody's written a definitive biography about him. I'll go see. And I guess I just have to take a slight break and say, if you haven't seen Freaks and Geeks, which Judd Apatow mentions here, then almost stop everything and go watch it. It's great. It's so rich and funny. And I saw him, I don't remember what talk show he was on. I'm pretty sure it was one of the, you know, the nightly talk shows. And he was sitting with someone and they were asking him about all the movies that he's made and produced and had a hand in. But he really said that he felt like he's playing with the house's money because he got to do Freaks and Geeks. And I can't believe I'm not remembering how to pronounce the name of his partner in that show. But I'll put links to him too. There's some great interviews with him. He's a fascinating figure in his own right. And if you watch Freaks and Geeks, you'll realize, like, people in that cast kind of went on to do tons and tons of stuff. The reunion photo, if they did one today, would be quite something. So, fantastic show. And it's really, I didn't know until reading this just now that, because I don't think I've ever fully read this second interview with Shandling in this book, that Apatow, while making it, thought of it as the Larry Sanders Show, if the characters are all when they were kids. Really wonderful stuff. So absolutely makes me want to go basically rewatch all of Gary's shows and Tonight Show appearances, and he's got some great stuff. I think it's the Emmys on YouTube. They have all these interviews, and his talking about the show and his process and way of thinking, and all the tributes after he passed away, all the people sharing recollections about him. You know, really great stuff. And it's interesting, obviously I've been talking about Gary for a while or reading stuff from him, about him through these dispatches. And I don't know, like a few days ago, last week sometime, Darren Roberts saying, call your people, you know, stay in touch with your people that have meant something to you. And also, I'm still puzzling over Gatto talking about the difference between a community and a network. And obviously people, the interesting tension here, people writing on a show, they have a job to do. They're there. You're there for your skills and your craft. But the writers in that writer's room, yeah, you got a job to do. Is it a network? Is it a community? Is it a family? They're employees working for an employer, and they've got a job to do, and it's a hard job to do. Yet at the same time, they're trying to make it real or seem real and reveal the human condition with art. And to be able to achieve that, I don't know, it's fascinating to consider. So, you know, even somebody like Shanling, it'd be interesting to see, to know. It's too bad, you know, like if he were still around. He's talking about how at the time when he was coming up, you know, all these comedians pretended they had their own radio shows just by doing tape recorder stuff. And obviously, you know, Gary's around, his life overlapped podcasting plenty. But I have to say again, like it would just, what he was working on, if you go back and listen to some of the prior dispatches, we're talking about Shanling, what he was working on for stand-up, and if he were around today, what creative projects he might have come up with next. The kind of conversations he wanted to have. It's fun to wonder what he might have done. Hope y'all are having a good one. It was a rainy one today. It was great. And I'm going to try as best I can to get back to recording these and posting them early in the morning. Definitely been getting up early. Just been kind of reading and doing other stuff, not just getting to these right off the bat. So we'll see. Thanks, y'all.